needs all I want and all I see, and without it, without it, there's no meaning.
Father, I pray that you would truly be exalted throughout this service. Lord, in our everyday lives, that we would exalt you, that your Holy Spirit would just live through us, Lord, and that people would see you in our lives. Father, I pray for a special anointing during this time as we study your word, that you would open up our eyes, that you would speak to our hearts, that we would learn to listen for your voice and only your voice. We pray all this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. So I was sharing with the men on Wednesday night that a brief little comment about us waiting on the Lord and listening for the Lord's direction, because, you know, in these times it's really hard. You know, you would think Sunday night service, Wednesday night service, Sunday school, they're all good things. Why would we not just go ahead and start back and start doing everything? But learning to wait and hear God's voice and listen for God's voice. And that was one of the things that I said. I said, if we would have just started back to everything like we've always done, there's nothing wrong with it. But I think God had something different in mind for this time. And for this moment, for this time, he wants the men meeting together and talking and sharing. And I think it's going to be a very fruitful ministry. It's like Tim and I were talking, I think it was after Wednesday night, about Sunday nights and Sunday school and everything. And he brought up a good point. He said, if our men in the church will begin to do what they're supposed to do, the family's still going to be fed, because the husbands are leading Bible studies at home and praying with their families and things at home. I hope that that's what will happen. But in saying all this, what I'm really, really wanting to say is I'm really struggling with waiting on the Lord and asking God, I want you directing. I don't want to just jump out there and do stuff just because we've always done stuff. I don't want to just because we know Sunday nights are good, just because we know Sunday school is good, just because Wednesday night, the way that we used to have it, was good. But Father, I want your direction in everything, because if God's in it, then it's going to be more productive. Then it's going to be more fruitful. If we're just doing it to do it, yeah, I mean, it's always good to read your Bible. It's always good to fellowship. It's always good to come back together. But when God's leading, it makes all the difference in the world. Lamentations 3:25-26 says, "The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord." It's been several years ago, but we talked about the word wait, the different meanings of wait and what exactly it means. And this, and I hope I looked it up right, in the Hebrew, this wait means to bind together, perhaps by twisting. That is, collect, to expect, gather together, look, patiently tarry and wait. And we've talked about it, it's been a long time ago, I think, about the waiting is to bind together, is to twist together. And y'all, so us waiting on the Lord, it isn't like, you know, like sitting at the drive-thru and just waiting. What are you doing at the drive-thru? You're just waiting for the next car to move, right? You're not really doing anything, you're just waiting in line. That's not the kind of waiting that God is asking of us. And the Lord is good unto them that wait for him. That is the waiting of binding together and twisting together. So that is the waiting of, like, right now I'm saying, God, how do you want our services? What do you want us to do? And it shouldn't just be kicked back with my feet up going, well, Lord, what do you want? No, it's me praying, it's seeking God, it's reading the scripture, and it's asking you all to pray for God to speak to us so that we have direction, so that we have guidance. You know, as I was thinking about that, you know, and I brought up a drive-through, I hate drive-thrus. Is anybody with me? Anybody hate drive-thrus? I hate drive-thrus. Crystal's always like, why do you hate drive-thrus? And one thing that I'll do, and this is just me, it's just dumb, it's my competitive nature. If I see, okay, there's a white Chevy truck sitting there, and so I would have pulled up right behind them. I park, I go in, order my food, and get back out, and I try to see if I beat that white Chevy truck. Does that make sense? It's just like, oh, see, I can be in and out of the restaurant faster than if I'd have just sat here and waited. I just can't help myself. I hate it. But you know what? With all this COVID and everything else, I've had to learn. I got to go through a drive-thru once in a while, and I've got to just sit there and be patient and wait. But there's something in me that I don't like to wait. I don't like to wait. And it can be the same with the Lord, is I don't want to wait. God, it feels like we're wasting time here. God, what, you know, everybody's growing impatient. God, what do we do? What do we do? What do we do? I want to run in and get the order. God, I want to run in and do this. And maybe this time is just God teaching me. Maybe you guys are all good. But it's not just a wait like a drive through. It's the twisting together. It's coming in production. Maybe that's the right word. It's you're doing something while you're waiting. Just like when you have company, what do? I know some of y'all because I've heard your kids talk. You clean the house, right? You're getting prepared for the coming of company. And so you're not just kicked back with dirty dishes piled up and clothes everywhere. No, you're getting the laundry done. You're getting the dishes done. You're doing preparations and preparedness for the guest. Well, y'all, I believe that sometimes our waiting, there's preparations that need to be taken place. And that is the twisting of our lives intertwining with our Heavenly Father. Does that make sense today? But there's the waiting on the Lord. Now I'm going to go to Judges chapter 6. And we talked about Gideon. And I didn't go back and look it up. But we talked about Gideon, I believe, right when all this COVID very first started happening. And we're going to talk a little bit about Gideon again, but in a little different light. Hopefully a little different light. Judges chapter 6, verse 1. And it says that again the Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord. And for 7 years he gave them into the hands of the Midianites. Because the power of the Midian was so oppressive, the Israelites prepared shelters for themselves in mountain clefts, caves, and strongholds. Whenever the Israelites planted their crops, the Midianites, Amalekites, and other eastern people invaded the country. They camped on the land and ruined the crops all the way to Gaza and did not spare a living thing for Israel, neither sheep nor cattle nor donkey. They came up with their livestock and their tents like swarms of locusts. It was impossible to count the men and their camels, and they invaded the land to ravage it. Midian so impoverished the Israelites that they cried out to the Lord for help. I want you to understand what the very first verse said, that they did evil. They were doing evil in the sight of God. And God says, okay, you're going to do evil. You're not going to obey me. You're going to worship false gods, false idols. There. And what happened? That they're being taken advantage of. They're being wiped out. And the Midianites are coming in and taking basically all their livelihood. And so I want to jump down now to verse 12. Okay. And it says, when the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon, he said, the Lord is with you, mighty warrior. I understand. And we've talked about Gideon before. You guys know enough about Gideon. Where was he at? He was hiding in a wine press. When this angel found him and says, calls him a mighty warrior hiding. Verse 13, but sir, Gideon replied, if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? Where are all his wonders that our fathers told us about? And when they said, did not the Lord bring us up out of Egypt? But now the Lord has abandoned us and put us into the hands of Midian. You guys, isn't that today how people are? They rebel, they live for the flesh, they live for earthly desires, and then when life's falling apart, they say, where's God? Why hasn't God taken care of me? What happened? What, isn't that how people are today? We're so evil in so many areas of this country. You know, all this, all the, all the protest and the and everything going on right now. How awesome would it be to see that same fervor, to see that same fire for the unborn babies that's killed every day? To have people marching in Washington and all over this country for all these aborted lives, all these aborted babies. We say, where's God? But we're not following God's laws. We're not following the Lord in any way. And then we say, God's abandoned us. Verse 14, the Lord turned to him and said, go in the strength you have and save Israel out of the Midian's hands. Am I not sending you? But Lord Gideon asked, how can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my family. The Lord answered him, I will be with you, and you will strike down all the Midianites together. Gideon replied, if now I have found favor in your eyes, give me a sign that it is really you talking to me. Please do not go away until I come back and bring my offering and set it before you. And the Lord said, I will wait until you return. Now, there's something there that I want you to understand. And where I'm going at is Gideon, we know here in a minute with the fleece and everything else, but he waited. He didn't just go out, he waited. He even asked, said, please, just give me a second here and let me make sure that this is really you talking to me. And you know, sometimes I think in our walk with God, we've seen people like shooting stars, and they'll rise up real quick and they'll flame out real quick. Because they've jumped into something and they've started doing something that they really didn't. It wasn't maybe the right time or that they had no business doing in the first place. But Gideon waited here and he says, hang on just a second and let me make sure here. And I want to jump down to verse 25. And it says, so the angel tells him that you need to tear down all these false worship places to Baal, the false temples and all this. And so we're picking up in verse 25. That same night, the Lord said to him, take the second bull your father from your father's herd, the one 7 years old, tear down your father's altars to Baal and cut down the Asherah poles beside it. Then build a proper kind of altar to the Lord, your God, on the top of this height. Using the wood of the Asherah pole that you cut down, offer the second bull as a burnt offering. So Gideon took 10 of his servants and did as the Lord told him. But because he was afraid of his family and the men of the town, he did it at night rather than in the daytime. You know, sometimes when we're waiting on the Lord and the Lord tells us to do something, it can be a scary thing what he's asked us to do. Sometimes to have the courage to do and to confront and to say and to proclaim what the Lord has told us to do, it can be a scary thing. And Gideon is even scared here, even after he's getting more confident and knowing that it was the angel of the Lord that has spoke to him. He does it at night rather than in the daytime. Verse 28, in the morning when the men of the town got up, there was Baal's altar demolished, with the Asherah poles beside it cut down and the second bull sacrificed on the newly built altar. They asked each other, who did this? When they carefully investigated, they were told, Gideon, son of Joash, did it. The men of the town demanded of Joash, bring out your sons. He must die because he has broken down Baal's altar and cut down the Asherah pole beside it. But Joash replied to the hostile crowd around him, are you going to plead Baal's cause? Are you trying to save him? Whoever fights for him shall be put to death by morning. If Baal really is God, he can defend himself when someone breaks down his altar. So that day they called Gideon Jerubbaal, saying, let Baal contend with him because he has broken down Baal's altar. So Gideon's dad saying, you know what? Baal can defend himself. Why are y'all ready to kill Gideon? But Gideon is taking steps. He's taking steps in the right direction. He's waited upon the Lord. And then right here, he puts out the fleece to make sure that he's following God's instructions. And jump down to Judges 7:1. I didn't want to put everybody to sleep. I would have just liked to have read both chapters here, but I'm trying to condense it down here. Judges 7:1 says, early in the morning, Jerubbaal That is, Gideon and all of his men camped at the spring of Herod. The camp of the Midians was north of them in the valley near the hill of Morah. The Lord said to Gideon, "You have too many men for me to deliver Midian into their hands, in order that Israel may not boast against me that her own strength has saved her. Announce now to the people, anyone who trembles with fear may turn back and leave Mount Gilead." So the 22,000 men left, while 10,000 remained waiting. What would have happened if Gideon would have just got his army together, the fleece were wet, they were dry, and took off? Then they would have claimed the win for themselves. That's why God's saying, no, if you send this many men, if there's this many men, then they're going to think it was by their strength and their might. So what is he doing? He's cutting down the army. He's cutting it down smaller and smaller. Verse 4, "But the Lord said to Gideon, 'There are still too many men. Take them down to the water, and I will sift them for you there. If I say, this one shall go with you, he shall go. But if I say, this one shall not go with you, he shall not go.' So Gideon took the men down to the water. There the Lord told him, 'Separate those who lap the water with their tongues like a dog from those who kneel down to drink.' 300 men lapped with their hands to their mouth. All the rest got down on their knees to drink. Then the Lord said to Gideon, 'With the 300 men that lapped, I will save you and give the Midianites into your hands. Let all the other men go, each to his own place.' So Gideon sent the rest of the Israelites to their tents, but kept the 300 who took over the provisions and trumpets of the other." Waiting. Waiting on the Lord. So he's waiting, and his army keeps getting smaller and smaller and smaller. You know, sometimes when we're waiting on the Lord, we talked about a few weeks ago, pruning. I believe sometimes when we're waiting on the Lord, He's pruning us. He's pruning things out of our lives. It may be people. It may be things in our life. Whatever it is. But sometimes the waiting that God is preparing us so that He can get the glory, so that He can get the honor. And sometimes it's a scary thing. God, where's everybody gone? I thought we'd be growing, but we're getting smaller and smaller and smaller. I don't understand. Gideon has some fear still. Let me find where we're at. And the Lord sends him down to hear what's being said in the camp of the Midianites. And we're going to jump down to verse 19. Gideon and the 100 men with him, they split up into groups, so that's why he's only got 100. Gideon and the 100 men with him reached the edge of the camp at the beginning of the middle watch, just after they had changed the guard. They blew their trumpets, broke the jars that were in their hands. The 300 companies blew the trumpets and smashed the jars, grasping the torches in their left hand and holding their right hands, the trumpets that were to blow. They shouted, "A sword for the Lord and for Gideon." While each man held his position around the camp, all the Midianites ran and cried out as they fled. When the 300 trumpets sounded, the Lord caused the men throughout the camp to turn on each other with their swords. They're up, hiding out, breaking jars, blowing trumpets, shouting, and what happened? They all got scared and they began to kill one another. God was taking care of it. Why? Because Gideon waited. He didn't just get his army together. Okay, I've got direction now. Let's charge. Let's go. Let's go take them. God said He'd be with me. I'm ready to go. No, he was cautious and he prayed. And it was from a heartfelt place. It wasn't being a coward. He was scared at times. Are you guys scared sometimes? I'm scared sometimes. Sometimes things that I'm facing, sometimes things that I'm supposed to say and how I'm supposed to say it, and it brings fear. And Lord, what? But when we wait and we listen for God's instructions, we can have victory in these areas of our lives. In James chapter 5, verse 7 through 11, it says, "Be patient then, brothers, until the Lord's coming. See how the farmer waits for the land to yield its valuable crops and how patient he is for the autumn and spring rains?" I've told y'all before, I'm not a patient person. I like I like to mow my yard. I like to cut my grass. I like to see the finished product right away. I don't like to plant a garden and wait for its fruit to yield. I just like the drive-thru. I'm not patient like that, but sometimes I believe that's got me into trouble. And sometimes I believe that we need to learn to just wait upon the Lord. Verse 8 says, "You too, be patient and stand firm, because the Lord is coming. Coming is near. Don't grumble against each other, brothers, or you will be judged. The judge is standing at the door. Brothers, as an example of patience in the face of suffering, take the prophet who spoke in the name of the Lord. As you know, we considered blessed those who have persevered. You have heard of Job's perseverance and have seen what the Lord finally brought him. The Lord is full of compassion and mercy." You go through Job's story and all the troubles and trials that he went through, but he wouldn't curse God. And what happened? God restored him to even more than he had before. And sometimes I believe we just need to be patient. We just need to wait upon the Lord and not get in such a hurry and not look at things from such a worldly point of view with our worldly eyes. Does anybody else look at things from a worldly point of view sometimes? And just like with the church services, it's good to be here. It's good to have church. It's good to meet. But is that, we doing it just because it's good? Or are we doing it because it's what the Lord's told us to do? I hope this is making sense, y'all, that we need to learn to hear God's voice and to wait and listen for instructions. Psalms 33, 12 through 22 says, "Blessed is a nation whose God is the Lord, the people who He chose for His inheritance." I believe we used to be that nation. I believe that if God's people will repent and begin to seek Him once again, we can be that nation once again. From heaven, the Lord looks down and sees all mankind. From His dwelling place, He watches all who live on the earth. God's watching you today. He knows your thoughts. He knows where you've been. He knows what you're doing. He knows if you're charging ahead, if you're waiting, if you're waiting for instructions, if you're listening. Verse 15, "He who forms the hearts of all, who considers everything they do." He's considering everything that you're doing with your life, how you're living your life. No king is saved by the size of his army. No warrior escapes by his great strength. You know, we here in America are very prideful of our army, of our military, of this great military that we've built. But in reality, the only thing that's protecting us as a nation is God. Verse 17, "A horse is a vain hope for deliverance. Despite all its great strength, it cannot save. But the eyes of the Lord are on those who fear Him, on those who hope is in His unfailing love, to deliver them from death and keep them alive in famine. We wait in hope for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. In Him our hearts rejoice, for we trust in His holy name. May Your unfailing love rest upon us, O Lord, even as we put our hope in You." Are we putting our hope in God? Are we waiting patiently upon Him? Are we seeking Him? Micah 7:7 says, "But as for me, I watch in hope for the Lord. I wait for God my Savior. My God will hear me." Maybe some of y'all been praying for something for several weeks, for several months, for several years. Have you given up? Have you stopped waiting patiently on the Lord? Have you said, "Well, God's just not hearing me"? Or maybe sometimes God said no and we're still praying, right? I don't think we can complete talking about waiting on the Lord without reading in Isaiah chapter 40. And I'm going to start back up a little bit, verse 28. And it says, "Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and His understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak." If you're weary, if you're weak today, Just as I talked about the lady that I talked to yesterday on the phone, and she's just tired of living. She's so worn out, and she's so ready to go. But y'all, God can give you strength this morning. God can give you strength. Even youth grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. King James says, but those who wait in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. It's waiting, intertwining, knowing God, building that relationship with Him. It's the binding together. It's the twisting together. Jeremiah 29:13 says, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. See, the waiting is seeking God with all of your heart, and it's binding together. It's not kick back in your lazy boy, taking life easy. It's seeking God. It's binding together. That's the kind of waiting that we need to be having right now. We worry about our society. We worry about our country. We worry about all the injustice that's going on in this world. And there's so much injustice going on. There's so much things going on with the COVID and people getting sick and everything else. Are we stopping and we praying and seeking and twisting together with God with all of our heart? Or are we saying, well, the president can handle it, the Congress can handle it, the Senate can handle it, the whoever can handle it, our military can handle it. I'm going to kick back. How many times have I heard, and I've said it myself, I'm thankful that we live in Mansfield, Arkansas. I'm thankful of where we live. But there's a world falling apart around us. Are we just going to sit here and be thankful for where we live, or are we going to pray and wait and ask God, God, what do we do? How do we help? Deuteronomy 4:29 says, but if from there you seek the Lord your God, you will find Him if you seek Him with all your heart and with all your soul. Are you seeking God with all of your heart and all of your soul? And that was where the sermon was supposed to end, but I felt like this morning, and I need to just read this last little thing. Luke 10:38-41, and we're going to quit. As Jesus and His disciples were on their way, He came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to Him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what He said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to Him and asked, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her to help me. Martha, Martha, the Lord answered, you are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken from her. See, I'm sometimes like Martha. I'm busy and preparing and doing all the things. I don't like to wait. I don't like to sit. But the Lord Jesus said, Mary's chosen what's better, and that's just sitting at Jesus' feet and listening. And that's the kind of waiting that we need to be doing, the twisting together, sitting at Jesus' feet and listening and waiting and not just charging ahead, not just doing something because that's the way we've always done it, not just saying, well, this is a good thing, so I'm going to do it, but truly asking God, what would you have me do? And not be busy with doing good. No, what Martha was doing was good, but it wasn't what was necessary for that moment. Let's stand. Father, as we come before You now, I pray that in our hearts we would be sitting at Your feet. That You would begin to speak to each and every one of us, Lord, that maybe there's been something that we've been praying for years. Maybe there's something that we've been praying for months or weeks. That You would begin to give us a word on how to handle the situations, Lord, what You would have us do. Lord, in this time of so much uncertainty, Father, that every decision we make, we would pray and ask You, how should we handle it? Lord, from opening churches back up to staying home to whatever the needs might be, Father, that You would give us direction. And Father, that we wouldn't take this time, this pause moment in history, to just kick back with our feet up and watch movies and hang out with friends. But Father, that we would take this time to dive into Your Word and to know You more intimately. And that kind of waiting, I believe, that You desire, and that we would seek You with all of our heart. Lord, may we be patient, but may we also be desperate. Desperate to hear from You. Desperate to hear Your voice. Desperate to hear Your instructions. Father, have Your way now. May You bring encouragement and a desire to know You more intimately this morning to each and every one of us. May Thy will truly be done in each life that's here, in each family that's represented here this morning. Father, have Your way now, in Jesus' mighty name.
Here, before Your altar, I am letting go of all I've held, of every motive, every burden, everything that's of myself. And I just want to wait on You, my God. I just want to dwell on who You
you this morning also, that I think sometimes, and it was in Exodus when the Israelites came to the Red Sea and they'd stop, and I'm trying to remember it exactly how it happened, and Moses says, let's sit here and wait and watch what the Lord does. And the Lord says, why are you stopping? Lift up your staff, part the Red Sea, get going. And I hope I've done that story right. Sometimes when the Lord gives you instructions, it might be inconvenient. It might be not the way of the world, so to speak. Sometimes you might be like Gideon and scared, saying, Lord, I'm too weak. I can't do this. But we need to just follow through. And the Lord told me something a few weeks ago to do. And it's not that I don't want to do it. It's just the convenience and finding time to do it. And when I was just sitting there praying, the Lord said, you know, you need to quit waiting. Wait a minute. I just said wait. That's what I just preached. But He told me to do something specifically. And it's, like I said, it's not that I don't want to do it. It's just finding time and doing it. The Lord tells you to do something, do it. You don't know the time frame. You don't know why God's asking you to do something at this moment, at this time. But if you hadn't heard from God, let's learn to ask. Let's learn to intertwine, twist together, so that we know God's leading and directing us. Amen. 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 Y'all have a blessed afternoon. You'll hear from me this week, okay?